Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lending Forward. Today, you get me, Cody Fox. I am in the beautiful mountains of Asheville, North Carolina, and I am lucky enough to have Emily Hubbard with us. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Just a little north of you in Weaverville. So pretty close to those same Asheville mountains.
Yeah. The Emily is with the Rainbow Network of Keller Williams. And what firm are you with?
So I'm with Keller Williams Professionals, which is our local Keller Williams here. And then the Rainbow Network is kind of a culmination of queer agents throughout all of the world, really. So all throughout Keller Williams agents.
Perfect. The reason we are ending up on Pride Month this month, and we really wanted to shine some light on, we've hit a lot of different communities in previous podcast episodes, and what better month to do this than to talk about our LGBTQ plus community and have Emily along board with us to talk about the realtor side of things. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the mortgage side of stuff too, but we're really here to listen to her. So I'm going to shut up. And Emily, tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in the industry, about the Rainbow Network. Just take it away.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Emily. I work out of Keller Williams, but I have my own little team under called Rainbow Key Realty. And all of our members are in the LGBTQ plus community. So it's really wonderful that both the two full-time agents that work on the front end and our back end support all know kind of what we deal with on a daily basis, what our clients do. So I got into this business about 3 years ago. Prior to that, I was actually a performer full time. So I went to school for musical theater and then I traveled all around the country and in other parts of the world performing. Moved down to North Carolina to work for a theater that focused on progression and social change. So it was a children's theater company that did performances about Black history, anti-bullying, immigration. And so it was like a real big passion project for me. Then the pandemic hit. I had just purchased my first house. And I was like, I actually kind of like that. And had, you know, a little come Jesus talk with my current fiance. And we decided that maybe there was more good I could do if I had more funds to support groups that had the same interests and passions as me than just the 24 hours I have in a day. So I joined Keller Williams. They're the only firm I've ever been with. I absolutely adore them. Can't say enough good things. And I've just have felt really supported and celebrated for who I am as a person, start to finish. So that's a little bit about me. The Rainbow Network is kind of my favorite thing about Keller Williams. So it is, and I'll preface this too by saying that a lot of times I will interchange the word queer and LGBTQ plus. And for me personally, and a lot of my friends, I find that a lot of younger millennials and or Gen Zers prefer that word because it's a little more inclusive. Right. There are people who maybe don't feel totally safe being out and about and disclosing their sexual orientation or gender identity in their own communities, but being able to say that word queer is kind of this overarching umbrella. So I just always like to say that because I know that other people, especially in the South, that word has not always been celebratory. Right. And I use it in a very positive way. So
that's the whole reason we're doing this episode too, is to get this education out there to those that are not able. So thank you for sharing that. And I will let you keep going now.
Oh, no, of course. Yeah, anytime, please. And I'm such a talker, so feel free to interrupt me anytime, Cody. with the Rainbow Network, I remember I was like a little baby agent. I had befriended our director of First Impressions, and he is gay. And he was telling me about how cool the Rainbow Network was and this website and this Facebook page. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. How do I join? And he did the like, we love a good ally and kind of conversation to me, because I have a lot of straight passing privilege and I am in a current heterosexual relationship. So for me, unless I out myself, most people don't know. And that's when I had to be like, oh, excuse me. My first relationship was with a woman. My first kiss was a girl, you know. I define my sexuality as pan. Mm-hmm. And so he opened up this door and it has completely changed my life. Having this network of other agents who not only understand what, you know, queer people go through, like buying a house, but everything from how to be yourself in your market mm-hmm. center, how to promote yourself without putting yourself in boxes, safety measures. And it's really allowed me to be fully out in my every aspect of my life. And it has just made me a more well-rounded and proud person. You know, I used to think that my sexuality was just this part of myself that unless I was in a relationship where people would know, right. I didn't need to talk about it. And through this community of people, I've realized this is something that I'm really proud about and not something that only affects me if I'm in a relationship where other people identify that as a queer relationship.
And it's awesome to surround yourself by those other individuals that can uplift you. Because like you said, sometimes in the South, we can, where we've grown up as well, depending on the mindset, it can feel a little bit suffocating, if that's a very good word. Mm-hmm. And so to have that community, not only personal life, but work life, and be able to celebrate ourselves with those mm-hmm. other people and bring other people in is just a wonderful thing to be able to have now that we're able to. Not that we're able to, but we're more comfortable now. We're comfortable.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And people, like, you know, sometimes tend to forget how close we are to not being safe and comfortable now. And even now, I mean, it is still, I think it was a statistic back in like 2018 mm-hmm. that they found that you were more likely to be killed as a trans woman of color than you were in the military. And that statistic might have changed since then, but, you know, it's still not always safe for people. And so it's like, what can we do within our careers and professions and personal lives to make sure that every member of our community is safe? You know, because it wasn't even 10 years ago that gay marriage was legal. Right. People like to think that it was, you know, oh, we're way past that. And we're really not, you know.
We're still going through the changes of mindset that some people still need to have. But I did want to drop just a little bit on some statistics. I do want to talk some numbers because the reason, again, that we're doing this is to open some minds up, to get those numbers out there to show that this is a community that we really do need to focus on. And we will get into a little bit about, you know, how we can have those conversations with somebody from the LGBTQ+ community. We'll get there in a minute, but I'll let you go ahead on the statistics first.
Sure. Yeah. So Keller Williams last year produced and promoted this really cool class called Proud to Be KW. Mm-hmm. And the entire class was about educating in the LGBTQ+ community and kind of some of the challenges that we face as borrowers, as buyers, just as kind of humans. And so a couple of the cool stats that I pulled from that is they did a study back between January and December of 2021, just to look at the queer population. And it was kind of, if you've ever seen the graph of the left-handedness, you know, when they thought, oh, you're left-handed, you're a witch. So, and then as soon as they were like, oh, sorry guys, we got that one wrong, boom, left-handedness like skyrocketed. And we were finding that a lot within the queer community. As it becomes safer, more socially accepted and protected, people are more open. And I think people are realizing too that it's more of a spectrum. So the boomer generation was like, you know, 2 point something to 4 point something. Then you get to the millennials and we are 10.5%. And then Gen Z was 20.8%. And so, you know, it's one of those things where now we're getting those Gen Zers into, you know, the housing mm-hmm. market. And obviously, you know, millennials are a little bit later just because of our economy than the average, you know, boomer Gen Xer. Right. It's a big chunk of our population. You know, this is not just a tiny, people like to think it's a tiny minute thing on the side. And right now, you know, our up and coming generation, it's a fifth of them are saying that they identify as LGBTQ+. And so then going back into Freddie Mac also did a study in 2023, and I'm looking over at my notes to make sure I don't set anything up. But they found that of the general home buying population, so that people that were actually ready, willing, and able, you know, had their finances good to go, that about 64% of Americans who were able would purchase a home. And then they compared that to the queer population and found that only 49% were. So whether that's because of them not getting approved for a mortgage at the same rate, or safety concerns, or not feeling comfortable with a professional helping them, that there was a pretty big discrepancy between the overall population and then just the LGBTQ plus communication or population. Sorry.
Yeah. And I again, the education around it and the openness of, especially Rainbow Network and your Rainbow Key Realty, that is inviting people to know that they are going to be in that safe place to have those safe conversations and be able to be themselves. And when it comes to things of whether it is mortgage or whether it is, I mean, we were talking a little bit before about, you know, if somebody comes in and if they're immediately like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, then it gets a little uncomfortable because it may be Mr. and Mr. Smith, maybe Mrs. Smith. It may be they, them. And, but you've got to have somebody that knows how to treat them with respect to be able to make this a comfortable and exciting experience for them and not them feel like they are having to filter everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've worked with same-sex couples who try to pop into every email that they are business partners, or, you know, they're friends and roommates because, you know, they found that a same Freddie Mac study, same-sex applicants were 73% more likely to be denied for a loan with the exact same financials as a heterosexual couple. And then on top of that they were charged less than 0.5% of fees, but a higher amount that equated to $86 million annually. So it's like a really large amount of money. And I've had clients that I shared with you that, you know, they would misgender them. They thought they were a heterosexual couple. And she got so happy when that would happen because she was terrified of one of these statistics happening to her and her wife. And you know, when we have those conversations around things like names and pronouns, and people get a little stuck on it, I just say, hey, it's as simple as when someone gets married and changes their name. You might mess up, say, whoops, sorry, move on. But we as a society have accepted that people change their names, and that's okay. And this can be the exact same situation. It's just, like you said, having that advocate for
you. Use a nickname. I mean, it's true.
What about your middle name?
Call it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's so much simpler than I think some people want to make it seem to be.
What are there any protections, legal protections for the queer community when it comes to either reporting discrimination that they may experience, just like you were talking about in the statistics, or are there any current bills in play right now that we should be on the lookout for that we're waiting on the higher ups to do something with?
I mean, yes and no. North Carolina is one of 19 states that does not have any like prohibitions against discriminatory practices with sexual orientation. Not the thing we're most proud of. That being said, there are a lot of federal guidelines that supersede state levels. So as far as like housing, if you felt you were being discriminated against in a housing situation with the North Carolina, you would file a complaint with the housing discrimination section of the Civil Rights Division. So it's a totally separate, you know, we don't have it in our housing, unfortunately, or they can file something with HUD. So that's the Housing and Urban Development under Fair Housing Act, because the National Fair Housing Act has decided, hey, sex, as we have it worded, also includes gender identity, sexual orientation. And, you know, it's my partner and I were even looking through trying to see what bills were coming up. And there's one that is in the beginning phases. I don't have that one written down right now because it was so hard for me to understand. But basically,
not to hold you to anything.
Yeah, right. But you know, at the end of the day, in 2023, there was a record amount of anti-LGBTQ plus bills being tried, pushed through, more than we've ever seen before. And I feel like a lot of the efforts right now are still working towards stopping those progressions than new things coming out, which is a really sad statement to make. And it was a sad realization when going through. But, you know, I think a lot of what we were saying earlier, it's just about visibility. So I was wearing my Keller Williams Rainbow Network t-shirt once, and I went into a tire shop and a man of color came up to me and said, "What does that mean?" And I explained what it was. And he said, "You know, I'm not in the LGBT community. However, like, your shirt makes me feel safe. Like, thank you for wearing that." And I think it's really just that. It's that people know, hey, even if I'm not a part of that same marginalized community this person is, if they are so forward facing with their representation, I feel like there's a higher likelihood that I'm going to be safe in that situation. And that's really the whole reason that, you know, myself and my coworkers, that we really want to, you know, push this message and make sure that it is accessible to people for the issue of safety.
With you and your team and showing that outward acceptance and, you know, bringing people like at the tire shop there, what are some other ways that you can ensure the inclusivity of the community?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. So I feel like a lot of times whenever I talk about this, it really just goes down to having the same systems, procedures, operating, whatever it may be, for every single person. So for case in point, like, the very first question on all of our intake forms is, what is your name? Second question is, what are your pronouns? I've asked every single person that. I'm in a, you know, an LGBTQ+ bowling league, and I still will ask every single person that I meet, because I'll still get faces like this. You know, even within our queer community, there's a lot of education that needs to happen. And so things like that, every lender, every attorney, every vendor that we connect our clients with, they have their name. If they have a different name than maybe is on their license, what their preferred pronouns are. And that's the same thing regardless. So even if people roll their eyes and say the normal, which is my favorite response, or, you know, they seem like a very straight presenting heterosexual couple and they are, well, great. I'm still going to introduce them in the exact same way so that there's no discrepancy between who we work with and who we ask these certain questions to. Because when you start to do that, it's still discriminatory. It's still me saying, I'm going to take my snap judgment of you and decide what questions to ask. So if you ask everyone the same question, then it's the same at the end.
Across the board, it's equal. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But what we have found is that, you know, so much of our business is word of mouth. It's either connections from our other fellow KW Rainbow Network agents sending people down, or it's, you know, I had this wonderful queer couple I became good friends with, and one of them was under the trans umbrella, and they introduced me to their other friend, and they, you know, encouraged us to apply to be on, like, Trans in the South, which is this really cool resource of, like, safe places for queer and trans people to go to. And so for us, it's really just having those same systems. And if we do have a client that has a name on maybe their license or their government issue ID that is different than the name that they would like to be addressed as, then we make sure to not only send those same exact emails, but we'll take it a step further and we'll call our lender, we'll call the attorney and say, hey, here's what you're going to see. They know they're going to have to sign their name as this. And, you know, we need you to respect that this is their name. So please address them as such. Please in emails use this on legal documents. We understand what's going to have to happen. And so far, everyone has been, you know, super wonderful and supportive, because if we have a vendor that's not, they're probably not going to work with us past that first time.
Yeah. And honestly, the way that that I handle it, very similar to how you said, it more comes across as a, all right, your name is and what you prefer to be called, this or and because I do have to, and you do for the contract, we have to ask legal names. We do have to ask on the application. We've got the federally protected classes that we've got to, whether it is ethnicity, race, or sex. And it, the only options they have are male, female, or prefer not to answer when it comes to the mortgage application right now. So that's a conversation that, especially if they put prefer not to answer, you definitely want to have that. Okay, what are your pronouns? What do you, mm-hmm. because if it just comes in as an online application, I've not had a conversation yet, sometimes happens, then we want to make sure that everybody is comfortable and they feel like they have us on their side throughout the entirety of it.
Well, and especially in the modern day age of technology and auto responses and auto emails that are filling in the blanks, you know, you got to be careful on those smart emails that send out, you know, pronouns and names that might not actually match up. So it can be that extra level, you know, that extra step. But I can tell you that every amount of energy I have spent going the extra mile to make somebody feel safe has always come back to me tenfold, and not just financially, but just as a human.
What's some advice you'd give to either individuals or couples when selecting a neighborhood, a lender, an agent, if it's not us, of course, but an attorney?
There's lots of good people besides us. I think first and foremost is do a little bit of your research. What does their digital footprint look like? Pretty much ever since I got into this business, I have always lived under the guise of rejection is sometimes protection. And so I'm going to put everything forward facing. So there's rainbows on everything for me. Our pronouns are on everything. Mm-hmm. Our tagline is about inclusivity and opening up doors and creating opportunities for all kinds of people. And so my whole thing is like, hey, I'm okay if somebody reads that and says, not for me. So in the same sense, I want other people to do that same research. And if you find one of those vendors that you trust, asking them, who are their preferred connections, who have they worked with? But also not being afraid to ask the kind of scary question of what do you do to protect people's, safety, inclusivity, identity, that kind of thing. I will say sometimes, I have a really hard moral conundrum with our ethics, and being a realtor, we have ethics obligations. Right. And a really big thing is this idea of steering, of telling people, hey, this is a great place to go. This isn't, because those come back to really, racist roots of why people would be steered into certain directions. And as a queer agent, I know that there are some areas that I would feel more and less comfortable living in. And how do I communicate that to a client that, hey, I would like you to look a little deeper into this without violating my own ethics as a person or this nice document that I sign and ethics classes I take every 3 years. And so we have some systems in place when we talk to queer clients, and we'll tell them, because every single client I've ever worked with that's a part of the marginalized community will say, hey, and is this a good area to live in? Is this a good spot I should be looking in? And I tell them pretty bluntly, I can't tell you that. But what I can do is I can send you these, documents, these resources. A lot of times I'll have clients that tend to feel more comfortable in certain areas that tend to vote in a certain way, or that are XYZ away from a church or something, whatever makes them feel safe. And so then I just say, well, here's the facts. You tell me. So if you look at an area and you decide, hey, this doesn't seem like it fits well for me, then great. I can remove that from your search or tell you, hey, this is an area you told me you don't want to be in. But I just want to make sure at the end of the day that those people feel safe. I always say, I want you to invite me over for dinner in 6 months, not just tolerate me for 6 weeks. So I don't want somebody getting a situation where they feel unsafe. And I do have, a legal obligation of what I can and can't say. And I feel like most of the people I work with are the same, whether it's on the lending side as well. It's just kind of giving them all the information and making sure that they are well equipped to make the best decision and not just the easiest.
They have the resources to do it. And you're not making the decision for them. It is their house. It is their investment and their neighborhood. You're just providing what resources that you have available. And same on the loan side, that we do the same exact thing. Here are the different loan programs that we have available. Right. Which one do you fit best in? So, we've got to protect them, but also it's up to them at the end of the day.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And I think just as long as you put that information in front of them, I can go to sleep at night then, exactly. And in North Carolina, you're around such a wonderful hodgepodge of people that a lot of times people will move here and realize it wasn't maybe quite as scary as they thought it was. There's so much acceptance for different kinds of people.
Yeah. And it just depends on where, right around the communities, ride around, drive around, see what feel you get. If it's comfortable for you, then that's where you can be looking.
Yeah.
Where you can
be looking. Almost every community has a Facebook page. Go look on it, see if the events look fun to you. Bop around their little downtown. Mm-hmm. I've also walked around areas with people and we've door knocked and talked to neighbors. They're like, I love this area, but I'm a little worried. But I'm like, well, let's just go knock on a door and we'll have a conversation. And it's so amazing the information you can get from either a good or a bad neighbor. But they'll talk.
They will. I've got one of those too. For any agents or lenders that are listening, what advice would you give to them on some main priorities that you think would best fit into their systems, into if they're thinking, I need to change things up a little bit after listening to this, what would be like one or two key high points that they could do to really start flowing into this?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say first and foremost is don't be afraid to ask questions. I feel like so often as professionals in a commission-oriented business where you have to, you know, grab them at go and make sure that they want to work with you, people can let their ego kind of lead that conversation mm-hmm. a little bit and feel like, oh, if I say the wrong thing or if I don't ask the wrong thing, then like I'm out. And I feel like if we switch that and instead ask the person, hey, throughout this process, what can I do to make you feel the most comfortable? Or what are you worried might happen that would make you uncomfortable? And even if that is something that is so outside of the norm of your business practice, just to be able to know, okay, this person is looking at me to do X, Y, and Z. So I can do that. Or it's a great conversation then to have about expectations if you can't. But I think just opening up that dialogue and realizing that, you know, every single person in the world is different. Mm-hmm. So there are things, going back to the word queer, I love that word. It is so celebratory to me. It makes me happy to say it. And I have people that I know don't like it. So if I were to say that to somebody and they, you know, kind of make that face, I might ask, do you want me to refrain from using that word? And that's okay. So that's probably the first thing I would ask. You know, and even in our contract, we write all of our buyer agency agreements with a line that says this contract can be terminated at any time in writing by either party. Because I feel like this relationship business is just that. It's about building relationships.
Absolutely.
And I tell people, hey, if there's something that I'm doing that's not meeting expectation or that's not working well, I just ask that you have that conversation mm-hmm. with me, because I'd rather change a behavior than lose that relationship. And it's been so cool to have that in that start conversation, because I have had people come back and say, hey, I didn't like this. Or, you know, I had a queer couple that wasn't out to the one of the parents who was there, and I had to adjust things real quick when they're around. And I think that it's hard, and it's hard for me when I get things wrong. And, you know, it kind of makes you want to do that little shame dance. And at the end of the day, I know that it's making me a better person. So I would say that's probably the first and foremost. And the second one is, maybe if you have a member of the LGBTQ plus community, or maybe a member of another marginalized community that you can talk to and ask those questions. So if you don't feel comfortable having that practice conversation on someone that you're, you know, going to ask to write you a check later, then do it on a friend or a family member, or, you know, go online, but taking that extra step to just
be careful on what you read online.
Take it with a grain of salt, you know? But I think that just like, again, whatever your practices may be, make it the same for every single person. Ask that pronoun mm-hmm. question. Ask, you know, what they want their experience to be like. And it gets easier every time. And we're all learning people. We should all be learning based anyway. So don't be afraid to say, I didn't know that. Thanks.
We've got to learn to adapt. And it is a constant adaptation. It is a constant educating yourself of everything. That there's so much that we do on our end, and it is relationship based. I mean, at the end of the day, this is, you were spending, like you said, 6 weeks up to a year sometimes with some people. You're going to be friends with these people. You want to make sure that you've got that relationship and you know what their priorities are and where they're comfortable, and that they feel comfortable coming and having those conversations with you.
Absolutely. And when my fiance and I are starting the wedding planning process, and we were talking to a wedding planner about how I'm queer and how it's really important to me that the vendors we work with, you know, are not going to make us feel a certain type of way if I talk about that. And she said that she went through their entire vendor list and made sure that everybody was not just queer a tolerant or queer affirming, but queer celebratory. And if they were not queer celebratory, then they didn't get to be on that list. So whatever that passion thing mm-hmm. is for you, whether it's the LGBTQ plus community or something else, just make sure the people you're working with are celebratory of that, not just tolerant.
Is there anything else, Emily, you want to add on that maybe we've not touched on already?
One just last thing that I like to share is, whatever industry you happen to be in, just think about representation. I feel like sometimes that can be like a buzzword in today's society, but really just think about, you know, how are you presenting your teaching material? How are you giving examples? You know, when I do a lot of teaching in our market center, and it's crazy that even my brain will always go to Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you know, as that example. So maybe it's Mrs. and Mrs. Seller. Maybe it's, you know, two partners that don't have labels, you know, And it just kind of, again, goes back to what does your website look like? What does your Instagram look like? Are you showcasing different kinds of people and relationships? Because the more we see it in our daily life, the less it's going to be a thing.
And I think that visibility is so, so huge, because the more you are, the more you see it, the more, like you said, accustomed you are to it. Just like getting in the habit of going to the gym. I mean, I would just throw that. It's, if you're doing it every single day and you make it part of your practice, it's going to be easier. It might feel difficult to begin with, but just the one thing I wanted to end on before I ask you one last question is, if you didn't hear anything else in this conversation, just take with you that these are people in our community. And if you want to have that conversation, both Emily and I are available. You've got friends. You've got, whether you know it or not, you have friends. You probably have family too, that you want to make sure that they feel like they are part of your family and your friends, and that you, I'm going to throw the word love out there, but that they feel loved. Take that with you. Be very conscious of how you treat everyone, because not just in housing, not just in just in everyday life. So,
amen. I agree.
Just ending it up, we all ask every one of our hosts, what ways in this year will you be lending it forward?
Oh yeah, I loved this question. At Keller Williams, we have this thing called ALC, which is our Agent Leadership Council. And I get to be our culture representative, because that is just such a near and dear part to my heart. So not only do we have a lot of really cool volunteer opportunities that I get to foster within our market center and outside, but we also do a really big push for having rental resources, especially for our queer community around this area, because housing insecurity is a real thing. And we don't make a single dollar off that. That is just a, hey, I've been in that situation. I would have loved to have somebody walk me through the steps of what it could look like for me to have safe housing. We're also really big supporters of the LGBTQ+ Real Estate Alliance, which is a national organization that gives back and helps not only LGBTQ+ current home buyers, but also LGBTQ outright youth programs that help people get off the streets. And then as just a little middle child, keep my moral compass straight. If I ever, not only do we donate 5% of our total yearly profits back to organizations that are near and dear to our hearts, but if I ever work with a client that maybe doesn't see the full me, or maybe has some views I don't agree with, I give 10% back of that paycheck to support education of that particular issue. So we're always trying to find new ways to give back, whether it's through our hours or through dollars. But I think, you know, there's not enough good in the world. So whatever we can do to just move that one step closer is a good day.
It's one step at a time.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode, and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.